Let's take our Bibles, turn to John 15. We'll go back there and reiterate what we're talking about, and that is abiding in the Lord. So find your place there, if you will, John 15, verses 1 through 10. We'll be reading those in a moment. Good to have Delmas and Judy Knight here. Y'all stand up just a second, if you will. We're glad to have them here. They're with Beams Ministry, Bible Ministry. And so tonight, he'll be setting those boxes up here. How many do we have? 75 boxes. So you be praying about what God wants you to do. We'll get those boxes to people that need them in these foreign countries. And Beams does a great job printing those Bibles. And Brother Delmas and Judy are involved in seeing they get distributed. And we're glad for that. I've been knowing them for about 30 years. I was thinking about that a while ago. You were pastoring in Pennsylvania for a while, and I was in Indiana. That's where I first met you at a fellowship meeting. We were sitting there talking about our ages in the lobby a while ago. We're trying to remember some names. And we'd talk a little bit, and I'd say, that's so-and-so. And then we'd talk a little bit, and I'd say, I can't remember. He'd say, well, I remember. So we figured if we'd run around together with each other, we might could remember something, you know. But I told him, I think I'll just stick with my wife, all right. And between the two of us, we get it all remembered, more or less. And every preacher leans on his wife a whole lot for that kind of thing, I think. But it's good to have them here. They're very good servants of the Lord and friends. We appreciate their ministry. All right, let's talk about today abiding in God's precepts. Abiding in God's precepts. Just before we do that, let me just mention a couple of other things. We'll get into that. The Faith Promise card, if you have not made your commitment, there are those in front of you. And we're real thankful for the response we had our first year in it. And the first commitment level was $272,000 and growing. And so we praise the Lord for that. That should enable us to give over $350,000 to missions this year for the first time. And let me just mention, someone was asking me this morning about the envelope and how to be sure you give that. And it's the same type thing you have. These envelopes have changed. And at the top of them, that would say, instead of just missions, it would say Faith Promise Missions. So let's say you were giving $20 to missions before, and you added $10 to that in Faith Promise, then you would add those two together, and that would be $30 that would go there. And so that is the Faith Promise Missions designation, where you see Faith Promise Missions. Tithes and offerings, Faith Promise Missions, the Walk Worthy is the building fund, and then the Family Life Center. Those are the four categories. But your Faith Promise would go in one envelope. You can write a check for the whole thing, and it'll go there. And that's exactly what I do, my wife and I, and that's what you can do. So if you have any questions about that, I'll be glad to answer those for you later on. All right, abiding in His precepts. We live in a day when there's a battle for the Bible, to be sure. And there are people who despise the Bible. There are people who distort the Bible. We're seeing all of that. And people who deny the Word of God. I talked to some of them yesterday on visitation. But if we obey the precepts, the Word of God, what He has laid out before us, then that gives us freedom. The precepts, knowing the Word of God, will give us freedom as God's children. And it also helps nations to remain free. If a nation violates the principles of the Word of God, that nation is going to lose a lot of its freedoms. And a nation like that's not going to prosper. Proverbs says in 14:34, righteousness does what to a nation? Exalteth a nation. And that's just a principle of the Word of God. But sin is a reproach to any people. And so when we get away from the precepts of the Word of God, then we're going to pay the price. And most of us would agree, I would think, that we're already paying that price. I love America. America's rich in heritage, to be sure. We have a great, great spiritual heritage, and that's what made America great, because of our spiritual heritage. Sadly, we have moved away from that spiritual heritage, and from the precepts of the Word of God. And so when we neglect the Word, then the blessings begin to leave a country and leaving our country. And that works in a family. That works in a marriage. That works in how to raise children. The precepts of the Word of God bring freedom and assurance, but getting away from those precepts will cause difficulties and problems. Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, only then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." How many of us would want prosperity, the good kind, and success? Well, I think all of us do. And the Bible says the way to have that is to follow the teachings of the Word of God. Obey and have liberty. Obey and have joy. Obey the Word of God and have prosperity. Not just material, but spiritual prosperity, and it might also include that. So, first in our thinking today, we want to think about abiding in His precepts proves our love. Abiding in His precepts proves our love. In John 14 and 15, He says in that verse very clearly, "If you love Me, keep My commandments," or we could say My precepts. And so God tells us if we love Him, we'll do that. And we demonstrate our love for God by obeying the Lord. And it's just like a child and a parent. They demonstrate their love for that parent by obeying that parent. And every Christian should love God so much. Christians should not have to be begged and coerced to serve God. Pastors shouldn't have to get up in the pulpit and plead with people to get busy doing something for the glory of God. But to obey God and to serve God is the natural output of loving God. If we love God, we're going to want to serve Him, and we are going to want to obey the Lord. A businessman, he was very ruthless in his ways of dealing with people, and he approached Mark Twain and he said this, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. I'll climb Mount Sinai and read the Ten Commandments aloud at the top." Mark Twain replied to him, and he said, "I have a better idea. You could stay in Boston and keep them." And that's true. We need to keep the Word of God, the commandments of God, the precepts of God right where we are. We don't have to go to the Holy Land or Mount Sinai. Just keep the Word of God every day. And that's how we prove our love. We prove our love when we obey. John 14, verses 23 and 24. Look at those two verses, John 14, 23 and 24. Jesus answered, verse 23, and said unto him, "If a man love Me, he will keep My words, My precepts. And My Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings." In other words, if we love Him, we'll do what He says. If we don't love Him, we won't keep His sayings. "And the word which you hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me." In other words, you love Me, you love the Father, you keep the Word of God. And we prove our love when we obey the Lord. For instance, a person gets saved and they say they love the Lord. Are they going to obey Him? They need to obey Him in baptism right away. And if they really love the Lord, they're going to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then they're going to learn the precepts of God, and they'll be willing to be discipled so they can know the will of God, so they can obey God. They'll say, "I want to follow the Lord and believe His baptism. I want to do what He wants me to do. Teach me what God wants me to do, and I'll do those things because now I'm saved and I love Him." And then we prove our love when we disciple others. We as believers prove our love to God when we help teach these precepts to others or disciple others. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world or the end of the age. He's saying, if you love me, then you learn, and then you take these precepts. And one of the responsibilities we have as believers is to teach them to other people so they can follow the Lord. So we're to obey the Lord, learn the precepts, then we are to help new converts any way that we can to understand the Word of God so they can live out those truths. And if we love the Lord, we'll want to do that. Peter in John 21:15-17, listen to what Christ asked him. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. That's the little kids, the little children, my lambs. And he saith unto him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he saith unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? He was thinking, Why is he asking me that? Three times in a row. And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. It's important that the sheep learn, that they know the precepts. Feed my flock. Feed my sheep. Don't just entertain them. Don't just excite them. Don't just take them up in the clouds and leave them there in the ethereal, wonderful future. But teach them how to live right now in this life what is right, what is the Word of God. So feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Peter was like, I think, a lot of average Christians today, at least at that point in time, he was like that, who are perhaps fond of God and fond of Christianity, fond of the Lord. But what God was asking Peter for there and what he's asking all of us for is a deeper love for the Lord, a deeper commitment and a deeper love for Him that would cause us, number one, to forsake the world and worldliness. It would cause us to forsake that, and then would cause us to serve the Lord. Question, do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? How would you answer that? How much do we love the Lord? Luke 6:46, And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do you call him Lord if you're not going to do what he says? Why would I call him Lord if I'm not going to do what he says? Lord means I am in subjection to him. Whatever he says, that's what I want to do. That's what I should do. I should obey the Lord in all of these different areas because I love the Lord. If a man says he loves his wife, and by the way, guys, it wouldn't hurt you to mention that once in a while. And when she gets up off the floor from fainting, well, then you'll have a better relationship. But just because she married you doesn't mean you all, you know, you say, well, I baited the line and I caught the fish. I don't need to bait it anymore. You're very unwise. You ought to let your wife know you love her. But if you say you love your wife, but you never, never try to meet her needs or meet her request and all of those things, then that falls short of what we would call real, genuine love. And she might wonder, well, if he really loves me, why didn't he want to help me and help me with the things I need and so on and so forth? And I believe if we do love our wives, we'll want to do that. We'll want to help take care of them and meet their needs. And so it is a very simple illustration with God. If we love him, then we want to do what he says and meet his requests. So, an abiding Christian loves the Lord and obeys the Lord because of that love. And then secondly, abiding in his precepts provides assurance for us. Abiding in Him, abiding in His Word and precepts, provides assurance for us. If we obey the Lord, if Christians obey the Lord, they will feel a sense of belonging to God. If we obey the Lord, it comforts our hearts. We say, I must be God's because I'm obeying Him. I want to obey Him. I am obeying Him. And it helps us to know that we are His. But if somebody disobeys God, a lot of times when people are out of God's will, they disobey God, then some of those people begin to wonder, am I really saved? Did I really get saved? They struggle with the assurance of their salvation. If you go back into sin and you allow yourself to disobey God, you may have those feelings. But when we obey Him, we walk in His will, walk in His Word, try to keep His precepts, then we are comforted to believe that we belong to God. And let me tell you what will cause doubt in your life. Sin. Sin will bring doubt into the life of a believer. But obeying God always strengthens our relationship. It makes us know that we are His. And a man may not feel saved, and he may not obey the Lord, but if he doesn't, that feeling is going to even be compounded. Disobedience always compounds doubts. Disobedience always compounds doubts. And if we don't doubt our salvation when we disobey, we doubt whether God's going to bless us and whether we have answered prayers and all of that. But assurance gives us security. Not only that, assurance builds maturity. Every Christian should want to grow and be mature in the Lord. And so assurance gives us the foundation to build on for spiritual growth. In other words, for our maturity. We know we're saved, we obey the Lord, we are serving the Lord, we get that assurance in our hearts, and it helps us mature in the Lord. And yet, there are immature Christians that I've noticed in every church that I've pastored. They are up and down, up and down. They never really mature in the Lord. They're confident they're saved one day. The next day, they're not so sure they're saved. They're confident that they're right with God one day. The next day, they're not sure of that. And they're like a yo-yo, just up and down, up and down, up and down spiritually. No spiritual rest comes to them. But when we obey, we build that confidence. We build that maturity. We know we're in God's will. We have stability. And so obeying is abiding. Abiding equals assurance in our hearts, and assurance will always lead us to maturity. 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. That is, we come to maturity. In the person who obeys, whoso keepeth his word, not knows it, but keeps his word. I know a lot of Christians that know the word. Problem is, they just don't keep the word. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, brought to maturity. Hereby know we that we are in him. Why? Because we love him, we serve him, we mature in the Lord, and the love of God is perfected in our lives. So the more we abide in the word, in his precepts, the more maturity begins to blossom like a beautiful rose. Hereby we are perfected by his precepts. The psalmist knew a little bit about that in Psalm 119:11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not what? Sin against thee. And so that's maturity showing forth. I have hid your precepts, your word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, and being mature in the work of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:15. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what we need to do. Stay in the Word. Study the Word. Not just read it, but study it. Study the Word. Every Christian ought to have a little library at home, some kind of concordance, and some kind of conservative commentary, and maybe some helps. Every Christian ought to have some of those things in their home, and as they study the Word of God, they actually dig into it and begin to study it, and that builds up our confidence and builds up our obedience to the Lord. We are to dwell in the Word, and that brings assurance, and then the result of that is going to be that we work for the Lord, and we're going to bear fruit for the Lord, which is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be able to do that. We always go back to the precepts. Some of you might remember the name Scott O'Grady. I don't know if you would, but Scott O'Grady was shot down in 1995. He was flying an F-16. He was in Bosnia. And he was shot down behind enemy lines, and he was there all alone by himself. But he survived. How did he survive? Well, he was there 6 days behind enemy lines before he was rescued. But he survived by eating insects. I think I've had some chocolate-covered ants one time. Once is enough. Grass. He would eat grass. And also rainwater. And he went back to what he had learned in boot camp and in his training for survival, and he used those precepts, and he survived until he was rescued. Some of us sometimes, do you ever feel like you've been shot down spiritually? The devil gets after you, and you fail, or you have a spiritual spread eagle, and skin your nose and your knees and tops of your toes and your elbows, and you just think, oh my. Well, how do you recover from that? How do you pull out of that? You do it by going back to the precepts of the Word of God. What has God said to do? What do? 1 John 1:9 and others. We go back and we pull out of that, but we have to always go back to the precepts of the Word of God. Sometimes our plans explode. You ever have your plans just sort of disappear or explode or go awry? Most of us have had those happen, but if we'll go back and obey the precepts, then that brings security, and we will survive and go on. So it proves our love, and it provides assurance. Thirdly, abiding in His precepts promotes a loving spirit. Abiding in His precepts, the Word of God, promotes a loving spirit. If we do that, we will have a love for one another. If we abide in the Word, we're going to love each other. We're not going to stick our feelings out and get them hurt over every little thing. We're going to love people. We're not going to have to be noticed and bragged on and be the number one prima donna in the church and all of that. We, if we are mature and we go by the Word of God, we hear what God says, we'll have a loving spirit and we'll have love one for another. And if we abide in Christ and in His love, then we're going to love God. When we love God like we ought to, we're going to love other people like we ought to. And I know you're sitting there thinking, boy, some people are awful unlovely and hard to love. But love is a choice, really. We often think love is an emotion, butterflies and all that. It may have a little of that, but love is a choice. Love is choosing to love. And we do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we're to abide in His Word. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you. This is not like the Old Testament teaching, but a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. You love one another. As I have loved you. Now think about that. As I have loved you, Jesus said, that you love one another. How much has He loved you? Has He forgiven you? Has He cleansed you of any sins, of course, to get saved? Then afterwards, has He come up by your side when you had needs and loved you and loved on you? Sure He has. As He has loved us, we're to love one another. And we're all different. We all have different things and different idiosyncrasies, whatever that is. We all have all of those different things about us in our lives, but we just have to love one another. And no person is perfect. And we have to recognize that and love one another. And so that works in a church. Again, it works in a family. It works at the workplace. We just have to have the love of God in us. And God wants that. We'll have a love that really makes the difference. And as I said, love is a choice. God commands us in His Word to love one another. You know, there are about three or four different kinds of love that the Bible talks about. One is eros, and that's eroticism, and that is a sexual type thing. And that then the other would be philos, that's brotherly love, like we have for brother and sister and children. And then you have agape love, which is the kind of love that is like Christ, who loves even the unlovely. And He loved us when we were so unlovely and in sin. He loved us. And He tells us to have that kind of love. And when we have that, that always produces a loving spirit in our lives, if indeed we have that kind of love. And we know that because we go back to the Word of God, His precepts. Someone has said it this way: you cannot stand on the promises if you don't know what the promises are. That's why a lot of Christians stand on the premises instead of standing on the promises, because they don't spend enough time in the Word knowing what the promises are. We've got to know the precepts. A person that knows the precepts will tithe. Amen? They'll know. God teaches at least the beginning point is a tithe and faith giving. They will know that we're supposed to witness. That's a precept of the Word of God. We know that from Psalm 126. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We go, that's toil. And then we have toil and we have triumph that comes at the end. All of that toil, and then tears are involved in that. He that goeth forth weeping, tears, shall doubtless come again, triumph. And so that's a precept of the Word of God. If we tell people about Christ enough times, then somebody is going to come to Jesus Christ. And how do we know we're supposed to do that? Well, Matthew 28:18-20, how do we know we're supposed to be behind worldwide missions and to have a world vision? Matthew 28:18-20, and other places in the gospel accounts, we have that. And so the precepts of the Word of God. The precepts are given to us to obey. And when we obey and know the precepts, it will change our lives. How? It'll make us look more like Jesus. And isn't that what God has predestinated us to do, to be conformed, Romans 8:29, to the image of His Son? And so that's what He gives us these precepts for, so we can obey them. It'll change our lives, and we have to, by doing that, we abide in the Word, and we have a heart as a believer to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we obey, that proves our love, and that builds our confidence and our maturity as we serve the Lord. So, what we need to do is stay in the book and just keep reading the book, memorize some things, learn the precepts of the Word of God. And as we learn the precepts of the Word of God, let it change our lives. But I can promise you it'll never change our lives if we don't stay in the Word. We have everything that keeps us out of the Word: television, hobbies, all kinds of things that we do, sheer mental laziness sometimes. And we let all of these things, and I know I fight it just like you do. I have to fight it all the time. There's so many things demanding and vying for our attention. But somewhere in our daily schedule, we must spend some time in the Word of God and read it and read it and reread it and reread it. If you read through the Bible once or twice, let me encourage you, here's a way to read it. Read through a book three or four times in a row. Go to Matthew, read through it three or four times in a row. You'll really get familiar with it. Go to Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke, John, right on down, you'll really get used to it. Go to the Old Testament, read through all those stories in 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Read through them and reread them and reread them in a row. Mark it and reread it. And know the Word of God. The principles are there. The precepts of the book. And that'll help all of us if we'll do it. Father, again, we thank You that You've left us with the inspired, inerrant Word of You, the Word of God. And we're glad that You have protected it and preserved it to this hour. We're thankful that there is no other book like this book. It is a living book, a living Bible. It was the living Bible before the living Bible paraphrase ever came out. It's always been the living Word of God. And I pray that we'd love it and let it motivate us and move us and change us and help us and strengthen us and guide us through life. We might bring glory to Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.